Good morning. I'd like to deal with a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 76. This passage actually is a prophecy that was made by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and it was concerning the ministry of John that had been revealed to Zacharias by the Spirit of God. I'm going to be preaching today on the design of gospel preaching. That is, what are the signs of hearing the gospel? When a man preaches the gospel, what does he say? Well, beginning in verse 76 of Luke 1, Zacharias, speaking under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says, "And thou, child," that is, speaking of John the Baptist, "shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Now God is pleased to magnify the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. By no other means is the honor of the Father, Son, and Spirit so magnificently and savingly set forth. The Messiah was preceded in his incarnate birth by one prepared of God to herald as a voice in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." This one was John the Baptist. "He it is," John said, "who coming after me," that is, born after me, "is preferred before me, whose shoes, latchets, I am not worthy to unloose." Now 8 days after John's birth, on the day of his circumcision, he was given the name that God had prepared for him, and John's father, Zacharias, a priest whose mouth had been closed because of unbelief, wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." And immediately his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. Now Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost, began to prophesy and to tell forth truth concerning and relating to the Messiah, his incarnation and redemption by him, the accomplishing of God's eternal covenant, oath, and promise of mercy to a people that he had eternally and everlastingly loved. Zacharias, in the 68th verse of that first chapter, said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Bless him, praise him, glorify him, because of the perfection of his nature, the works of his hands, and his abundant mercy toward an undeserving people." Here is the voice and heart of a people that bless the Lord. Zacharias said, "He hath visited his people, as he did for Israel of old by delivering them out of Egypt," which was a picture of spiritual deliverance from the bondage of sin, "visited in his incarnation, and looked only to their good, to the obedience of the law. He redeemed his people by his life and death. All his people, Jew and Gentile, all of the elect, the chosen, his particular people that were chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, he paid their debt in full by the shedding of his blood, with their guilt, sin, upon him by imputation. Zacharias said, he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God has raised up the Messiah, a powerful Savior, that is able to make reconciliation for all his people by obeying all the precepts of the law, again, that by bearing their sin, suffering under the wrath of God in their place." Now Zacharias, in verse 76 speaks concerning John what God had already declared, which is the only thing that we truly have to say. There were 5 points set forth in verses 77 to 79 that set forth the design of preaching the gospel. Number 1, when the gospel is proclaimed, it is to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. That is, a knowledge of Christ, who is salvation, the one appointed and fitted for salvation of his people. The gospel preached gives, when blessed by the Spirit of God, an experimental, a sure, a certain heart knowledge of Christ himself. This gospel is preached that salvation might be shown to be a gift, not attained by diligence or industry on the part of the sinner. And this knowledge is given unto his people, those that are his not only by creation, but a special people given by the Father in electing grace, those Christ purchased by his blood, those he conquers by his grace and makes willing to come to him by faith in the day of his power. To those only is the heart knowledge given, for none other are appointed to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, the scripture says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And this salvation is by the remission of their sins. Sin is debt. To remit that debt is to be loosed from the obligation to pay. This is done fully and freely for Christ's sake through the shedding of his blood. Well, the second design in gospel preaching is to proclaim the tender mercy of our God. Herein is the source and spring of our pardon, God's mercy. Surely his mercy is channeled through the blood of his Son, but it was God's mercy that moved him, if I can say it like that, to enter into a covenant of grace with the Son and with the Spirit. Mercy set forth by the Son to come in the fullness of time to redeem his elect. Mercy provided the spotless lamb for a burnt offering and a sweet-smelling savor of life toward God. Whatever the cost of justice to redeem his people, mercy is owing to our God. Our God in Christ, our covenant God. The third design of gospel preaching is to magnify the office of our Redeemer. That's found in verse 78. The dayspring from on high hath visited us. The dayspring. That word also is translated the branch, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has grown up as a root out of dry ground, the one that has grown up out of his place, the one who is God from on high, who is the bright and morning star, the Son of righteousness, who is light himself. He hath visited us in the assumption of human nature, tabernacled among his people that he might represent them before God. He visited, and that for only a while, a short time, but accomplished all that the Father had purposed for him to do. And this was declared by Christ on the cross when he said, "It is finished." The fourth design of gospel preaching is to set forth the effect of Christ's visit. That's found in verse 79. That is, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Man by nature is in a state of spiritual darkness, ignorance, and unbelief. Men are in darkness concerning the knowledge of the righteousness that God will accept, that is, Christ's only. Man is in darkness as to the one set forth in Scripture. And he sits, the Scripture says, from birth, in the shadow of death. Death, the king of terrors, and his shadow awaits his victims on every corner. death's shadow casts itself deep over the carnal heart and can only be dispelled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this dispelling of death's shadow and the giving of the light of regeneration is only beheld through the preaching of the gospel. Then lastly, the design of gospel preaching motivates God's people to their obedience. That's found in verse 79. That is, to guide our feet into the way of peace. How we walk before Him, that is, in the Spirit. That is, to agree with Him, to believe Him, to receive Him. We do not know this by our carnal reasoning. Even our best efforts are tainted with the presence of sin. But the gospel guides our heart to teach us that it is not our walk of obedience that has made peace with God, but it is Christ's obedience by which our peace has been made, and that through the blood of His cross. By the preaching of this gospel, knowledge is given as the word is blessed to our heart by God's Spirit. We are led, directed, guided as we hear the truth preached in the way of peace, not only here on this earth, but in the eternal peace that we shall have hereafter. The hearing of the gospel, that which we must hear, and these points by which we look when we hear this glorious gospel is this: gives knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. That is, the gospel sets forth how God deals with sin for His people, how He puts it away, how He puts it behind Him, how it is cast as far as the east is from the west. Secondly, when we hear the gospel, we hear of the tender mercy of our God. The Scripture says that God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. Thirdly, when we hear the gospel preached, it is by the day spring from on high. He hath visited us. Oh, the glorious message of God's grace, that God Himself would take upon Himself the form of sinful flesh and tabernacle among us, become a man, walk before God's law, represent His people, obeying and honoring the law in their place. And fourthly, it is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We all are in darkness, but to have the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine within our heart, what a blessed hope we hear in the preaching of the gospel. And then lastly, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God's people want to know how to walk. They want to be obedient, but they know that their best efforts are tainted with sin, that they come short of the glory of God. How wonderful it is to hear of Him who has walked before God's law for them, and now they follow after Him, wanting to hear His message, wanting to serve Him, wanting to commune with Him, longing for His presence. Well, thank you for listening today, and I'd invite you now to tune to WNAB Nashville 58 and hear Brother Henry Mahan preach a message of God's free and sovereign grace. Until next week, God bless you.